for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, March the 31st, 1994. First service of the spring camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
To those of you who've never been here before, well, we're glad to have you. And if you don't know it by now, I'm Glenn. And this is Tommy Cook from over Tulsa. And he's been helping us here for about 10 years, I think, something like that. And a long time, and we never get tired of hearing him. And I just got to warn you, get your Bible open, get your fingers ready, and get ready to write fast. You better just write and not turn your Bible. You better just write. Because he may use 100 scriptures before he says goodnight to us tonight. And so, but you will enjoy it and be blessed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand together, can we?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Father, we again thank you tonight for allowing us to be here. We have come in your name, Lord, not in our name or in our righteousness, but in your power. And we thank you for allowing us to come. Thank you for protecting us on the highways, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your favor and your grace and your mercy that you've given each one of us. And, Lord, again, thank you for Jean and Earlene that, Lord, they got to make it this time. We thank you for her health, and we ask that you would continue to strengthen her body, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That you would continue, Lord, give her strength in her physical man. And we thank you for others that may be here that may be weak in body, may be sick, Lord, may have infirmities. We ask you to heal them and deliver them this weekend, Lord. And set them free, we pray. And we thank you for those that will be delivered, those that will be set free. And we all said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. All right, let's turn tonight to Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter 61. How many are glad you got to come to the camp?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 61. I just laid down to rest this afternoon after I got here, and the Lord began to speak to me. How many know that when he speaks, you jump and start writing? If you don't, you'll lose it. Isn't that right, Gene? But I just laid down, and I said something. My wife said, what? I said, nothing. I started writing some things down. But in Isaiah 61, verse 8, the Bible said, for I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. And I will direct their work in the truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Now, that phrase come to me, the part there, is where he says, I hate robbery. How many know the enemy is the greatest robber there is?
Amen.
Come on, he's a thief, isn't he?
Amen.
And he's a destroyer. And he comes to kill, come on, steal, and what? And destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. And so the enemy wants to rob. He wants to take away that which is of the Lord. How many know that we can rob the Lord, though?
Amen.
Of his glory. We can rob him in our tithes and offerings. We can rob him by not honoring him, by not exalting him, by not obeying him, by not fellowshipping him, by not praising him, by not loving him. There's many ways we can rob the Lord. And how many know he's the last one we should rob? Amen. We better not rob him. But the main thing that I want to bring up tonight is the enemy wants the headship of Christ. Are you hearing me? He wants to usurp that place. He wants that position. How many know he'll never make it? Now, let's look in the New Testament. Turn to Colossians just a minute. And how many know that the enemy is a taker? He's not a giver. He's a taker. You know, you remember Saul in the Old Testament? We'll go. Just turn to the New Testament. We'll go over in just a minute. Remember Saul in the Old Testament? God told Samuel, you tell the people what kind of man Saul's going to be. Remember that, Brother Glenn? Tell him this, that he will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, for his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. Then he said, you tell the people of God, he will take your daughters, he will take your fields, he will take the tenth of your seed, He will take your men servants, and he will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. I want to tell you, the enemy is a robber, and he's a taker. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now look in Colossians with me in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Colossians 1 and verse 18. Praise the Lord. Colossians 1:18. Notice what it says here. Read it with me. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's Jesus. Then in chapter 2, verse 10. And the Bible said in chapter 2, verse 10, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. Then chapter 2, verse 19, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment, ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Ephesians chapter 1. A couple scriptures there. Ephesians chapter 1. And we want to look at verse 18. The Bible said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance, where? It's in the saints. Now look down to verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. That's Jesus. Then we look in chapter 4, verse 15. The Bible said in 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. How many want to grow up?
Amen.
How many know most of the church world don't want to grow up?
Amen.
How many know most of the church world has not grown up?
Amen.
But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now we grow up into the head, we'll never be the head.
Amen.
He's the head and he'll always be the head. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Jesus is the head of the church. Hallelujah. Then chapter 5, verse 23, the Bible says this, for the husband is the head of the wife. That's in the natural. Even as Christ is the head of the church. How many know that's male and female both? He is the Savior, come on, of the body. The man is the head of the home in the natural, the physical, domestic way, but Christ is head in the spirit. He is our spiritual head. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, how many know that Christ rules from the top to the bottom? Are you hearing what I'm saying? He is also the foundation. We know that. How many know that takes the weight, that takes the pressure of a building? Now, we know he's the head, but he's also the foundation. Now, we also have another foundation. Look in chapter 2, verse 20, right there in Ephesians. And it says this, and are built upon the foundation. There's a lot of Christians who do not have foundations. There's a lot of Christians who have cracks in their foundation. And if you don't believe it, you go through a great trial, God will show you some of them cracks. Isn't that right? He showed me many times. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being something, the chief cornerstone. Jesus rules, as I said, from top to bottom. Hallelujah. Now the apostles, they are on that foundation as well. And we know they govern from ground level up. But Christ governs from the top down. He is the head. Somebody say amen. No apostle, no prophet, no teacher, come on, no shepherd, no evangelist is above the Word of God.
Amen.
We all have to submit to the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Can you say amen? Every one of us, no matter what title we have upon us. Hallelujah. Jesus is the head, and we must submit to the head. Jesus Christ our Lord. Now look in Amos. Amos chapter 2. Amos chapter 2. And look at a scripture together here. Chapter 2, verse 9. And the Bible says this, yet destroyed I the Amorite. How many has ever studied of the Canaanite nation? I gave one brother back there, brother. Did you get the text tonight, brother, on those? I taught those teachings. I never went through such testings as I did when I studied on those Canaanite nations and saw really what they were. How many know that when you study in those realms and you move in that realm, how many know you're going to be tested?
Amen.
Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. yet destroyed I the Amorite before them, whose height was the height of the cedars, and he was strong as the oaks, yet I destroyed his fruit from above, notice that, and his roots from beneath. Hallelujah. Now, the word Amorite means mountaineer. That's what it means. It means highlander. Notice, highlander. Mountaineer. How many can see pride in this guy? How many know that pride's in us? How many know that pride is Leviathan? Come on, don't shout me down there. And how many know we must repent of pride? Every one of us. We need to go down, every one of us tonight. Can you say amen? We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. But this Amorite means mountaineer. It means highlander or prominence. How many know that people like to have the prominence or the preeminence? But I tell you, Jesus, we read it tonight, he is the preeminent one. He is the head. Come on, somebody say amen. Now let me show you this. Look in Numbers just a minute. Hold your place right here. Look in Numbers, like you say, Glenn said, you need some fingers tonight. Look in Numbers 13:29. It says, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites. Notice, no Mosquitobites. Dwell in the mountains. Where they dwell? In the mountains. They're highlanders, the high place. How many of those devils like the heavenly places? Come on, hear me. Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, amen, but against powers. Come on, principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world and wicked spirits in higher heavenly places. How many know they're there tonight? But they're going to come down. Now listen to what it says. They dwell in the mountains with the Canaanites, which dwell by the sea and so forth. So we see the Amorites with the Jebusites and Hittites. They live in the mountains. They live in the high places. Amen. They like those high places. And Satan is the father of pride, isn't he?
Amen.
He started all this pride business. He is prideful. Most prideful. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
He is haughty. He is arrogant. He is boastful.
Amen.
And that which is in that realm is from the enemy, not from God. Now, notice something. Look at Numbers 21. And hold your place in Amos. Numbers 21. In chapter 21, verse 21. 21:21. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, let me pass through thy land. We will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards. We will not drink of the waters of the well, but we will go along by the king's highway until we be past thy borders. And Sihon would not suffer Israel to pass through his border, but Sihon gathered all his people together, and notice, went out against Israel in the wilderness. Notice, that's in the testing time. The Amorite spirit comes at you in your test. Now, and he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. And Israel smote him with the edge of the sword.
Amen.
I mean, no, we need to know this. Have the sword in us.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
To fight against our enemy. And possessed his land from Arnon to Jabbok, even to the children of Ammon. For the border of the children of Ammon was strong. I want you to notice, we have an enemy that is strong. You can't fight him in the flesh. The sword's going to take care of him.
Amen.
And Israel took all these cities. Did you hear that? Israel took all these cities. Are we conquering our enemy? Or is he conquering us? Well, we need the sword. And Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites in Heshbon and all the villages thereof. Thank God. Notice that. They're taking over the Amorite dwelling places. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab. Now look at verse 28. For there is a fire gone out of Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon, it hath consumed Ar of Moab and the lords of the high places of Arnon. How many know the fire of God will consume the enemy? How many know the enemy hates the fire of God? The enemy hates the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody say amen. Oh my, he hates the fire of God, the fire of God. And then we see here in verse 29, the king of the Amorites, they're taking this one into captivity. How many know we need to go after the big boys?
Yeah.
Come on. You go for the big boy, the little boys will run. Verse 31, thus Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites. They routed them out. Then down to verse 34, God says to Moses, fear him not, this one in verse 33, for I have delivered him into thy hand and all his people and in his land, and thou shalt do to him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon. So they smote him, his sons, and all his people, until there was none left alive, and they did something. They possess the land.
Yeah.
Now, what does the Amorite want to do? He wants to do this. He wants to stop you and I from entering our inheritance. Yes. They wanted to go by his land, and he come out against them right at that particular time. They do not want you to enter your inheritance, Canaan's land, your rest. And that spirit, as I said, comes at you in your greatest trial and test right when you're in the wilderness.
Yes.
Now, go back to Amos chapter 2. Hallelujah. Now he said, yet in verse 9, yet destroyed I the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars. Now how many got any cedar trees in your area or whatever? How many know some are very stately, very strong, durable, they have deep roots. When the wind begins to blow them, you know, different direction, there's a good smell, there's life. But how many know the Amorite is death? There is no good smell to spirit. Come on.
Yeah.
Fact, it's the opposite. Come on. Huh? But he said right here that they had the height of the cedars. They were tall. You're not going to move these guys just, you know, with a 100-pound weakling in the natural area.
Right.
And he was strong as the oaks. And we know an oak tree is very strong. The wood. Yet he said something. I destroyed his fruit from above. See, he started with that pride, didn't he? And his roots, come on, from beneath. Now look at the next verse. Also, I brought you up from the land of Egypt, God says, and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of, come on. God said, I led you through that terrible wilderness in order that you might possess the land of the Amorites. And God took them into that area, didn't it? Hallelujah. So there was a destruction from above as well as beneath. And they took over the land. Praise the Lord. Now, hallelujah. So, how many know we got to get on top of spirits?
Amen.
And how many know we got to roust and root them out?
Amen.
That's what he's saying right here. Now, God tells Jeremiah 1:10 to root out. Now, listen to this. Four negative things. Root out. Pull down. Come on.
Yeah.
Destroy. Throw down in order to do two things. Build and plant. How many know that many don't want the ministry of a prophet? Because he's going to root out, pull down, destroy, and throw down some things in order to build and plant. Amen?
Right.
Hallelujah. And when you root out, how many know you're getting right down to where it's really at? The problem, we're cutting off leaves, limbs, tops of the trees, but we never always get down to the root of where the problem is. Come on. You know, you can take smoking. How many know if a person's smoking, that ain't the root? We'll just take that little... How many know there's something deeper than smoking? People will go after smoking, you know, or something like that, but I'll tell you, it's something deeper. Maybe a rebellion, whatever, down deep there, we got to get it up. Amen? How many know that's just a little old leaf or a little limb up there hanging up? We got to go for the roots, brethren. There are things in our lives we don't even know what's rooted in sometimes, do we? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Look in Genesis 15. Genesis 15. Genesis 15, 13. And notice, and he said to Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them and shall afflict them 400 years. How many know that was in Egypt? 400 years. That's a long time. That would be almost, say, a generation of 40 years. I'd be 10 generations. 10 generations. How many know some curses are 10 generations? Or 400 years. The Deuteronomy tells you that in chapter 23. So here is a people having to stay in Egypt. What's Egypt a picture of? Come on. The world. Hard bondage. 400 years. Now, but look over in Exodus 12 just a minute. Exodus 12, and look at verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. 30 more years longer, almost a generation. Everybody see that? And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed to the Lord, and so forth. We know it's Passover. How many know they all went out of the land at the same time? Now back to chapter 15, verse 13. Hallelujah. 15, 13 again. Notice what the Lord says. I believe it's 15, 13. Hallelujah. Of Genesis. 15, 13 of Genesis. And here's what it says. And he said to Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Then in verse 14, and also that nation, which is Egypt, whom they shall serve, will I judge, and after they shall come out with great substance. Verse 15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So Israel could not come on in until something happened to the Amorites. How many believe that the cup of iniquity is becoming full today? How many know not only darkness, but gross darkness is covering the face of the earth? But at that time, His glory shall be seen upon a people. Hallelujah. The darker it gets in the world, the lighter it must become. Come on, within the people of God. When the enemy comes in like a flood, I will raise up a standard. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now, look in Genesis 49, verse 22. The Amorite wants your portion. He wants your inheritance. Chapter 49, verse 22. 49, 22. And it says in this verse, I believe it's 48 I want. 48. Yes, 48, 22. Jacob's about ready to die, and he's blessing different ones here, Ephraim and Manasseh and Joseph. And it says, we'll go back to verse 21. Israel said to Joseph, behold, I die. How many know every one of us are going to die unless Jesus comes?
Amen.
But God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given you the one portion above thy brethren, which is the double portion, that is the right or the portion of the firstborn. Now, how many know that Elisha wanted the double portion? And that meant the right of the firstborn. He wanted that. He wanted to possess that. And how many know that he received it? You know when he received it? When he crossed Jordan. He didn't get it on the this side of Jordan. It's when he went the other side, he received that double portion. Are you hearing me? And how many know when Elijah went up, the man will come down? When Jesus went up, the man will come down, the Holy Ghost, in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. How many thank God for the heavenly mantle? Thank God. Amen. How many know God blew in from the sides of the north in Acts 2? Huh? That's where he lives, on the sides of the north, isn't it? Now, notice something here. Verse 22, moreover, I have given you one portion above thy brethren, which I took out, notice, out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. How many know the enemy's possessing some of our inheritance tonight? Huh? Come on. A portion, and we're going to have to use the sword and the bow. Now, there's one other scripture talks about. The bow is the word in the Old Testament. But yet, he's got the sword here. How many know the word of God is going to chop that enemy to pieces? Come on, you're going to take what is rightfully yours. But it's not going to be without war, is it?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. But he wants your portion. He wants the double. He wants the right of the firstborn. He wants that double portion. How many know that's for the overcomers?
Amen.
Oh, yes. That's for the firstborn ones. We've come to the church of the firstborn. Literally means the firstborn ones. Hallelujah. Exodus 33. How many know it's going to take the supernatural?
Yes.
Exodus 33:2. 33:2. It says, and I will send an angel. Hallelujah. How many know ours went before us? Come on, his name is Jesus. I will send an angel before thee. I will drive out the Canaanite, Amorite, Hittite, Perizzite, Hivite, Jebusite. I'm going to send the angel before you. Aren't you glad that God sends angels before us?
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. Praise God. Then Joshua 9. Joshua 9. Joshua 9, verse 1 and 2. If you want a scripture on Jesus being the angel, you read Revelation 10, 1 through 5. I mean, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the one that puts his foot on, come on, the earth and the sea, which is the beast and the false prophet. How many know he's the head and we're the feet in this hour? He must be bruised under our feet shortly. The same anointing on the head's coming down to the feet.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? Now, Joshua chapter 9. Notice verse 1 and 2. It came to pass when all the kings which were on this side of Jordan, in the hills, in the valleys, how many know they're hiding everywhere? Uh-oh. Yeah, they're behind the rocks, too. In all the coast of the great sea. Do you know there's a correlation between demons and water? You know there are four angels bound in the river Euphrates? And you know when those demons went into the pigs? How many know the pigs couldn't take it? They drowned themselves in the water. How many know the demons come out, though? But the notice, the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, Amorite, Canaanite, Perizzite, Hivite, Jebusite heard thereof, and they gathered themselves together. How many know the enemy's gathering together to fight, come on, with Joshua and with Israel with one accord? Well, what would happen if we'd get in one accord? I mean, we'd fight too. Amen. Not with flesh and blood, but against our real enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. So they come with one accord against the people of God. Can you say amen? Now, look in Judges 1. Judges 1. And look at the scripture together there. 134. Judges 1:34. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says, and the Amorites, notice, the Amorites force the children of Dan into the mountains. How many know the enemy moves with force and cruelty? God doesn't force us. God doesn't make us do something. Come on. We may wish we had it. God doesn't move that way. God doesn't move in force and cruelty. But the enemy, it says, with force, notice, the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain. Well, how many know if we don't go to the mountains, God's got some enemies that's going to force us there. If we don't get up in that high place in God, God can store up an enemy against us. How many know he did it against Solomon? When Solomon married all those wives twice, it said God stirred up an enemy against him. And they forced Dan. How many know Dan needs to judge? If we don't judge ourselves, how many know the enemy's coming at us? Now listen to this. Israel, this is one place in Numbers. When they marched, this is one place. They went out different ways, but here's the way they went. Judah was first. In the middle was Levi. And on the end was Dan. Judah means praise. And the Levites, taking care of the tabernacle, represents worship and a lot of other things there. And Dan means to judge. And if we don't judge ourselves, how many know the enemy's coming up the rear right among the ranks of God's people, and sometimes we don't know he's there. And right here, he forced Dan into the mountains. Can you hear that? Amen. Now, look in chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. How many know God's against mixed marriages? I know it's a tough subject to get on. And I don't say much about it, because you get, whoops thrown at you sometimes. In chapter 3, verse 5, how many know God doesn't want us to marry the heathen? Come on, amen. How many know he wants us to marry Christians? If we're a Christian, we need to marry a Christian who believe and see alike as we do. Can you say amen? And the children of Israel dwelt, notice, among the Canaanites. You know who the Canaanites are, don't you? That's those peddlers and traffickers and merchandisers. Last chapter, Zechariah chapter 14, last verse, God said he's going to cut off the Canaanites in the day of the Lord out of the house of the Lord. How many know God's going to cut off those beggars? I'm going to say it again. God's going to cut off the beggars.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And how many know we're guilty if we're given to the beggars?
Amen.
How many know Jesus did something? He overturned the tables of those who sold and bought. Now, the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. And notice, they took their daughters. They took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served what? Their gods. Those daughters and sons took their mates into idolatry. How many know that brought a third and fourth generation curse on them? Amen? How many know some of our children are cursed because they're marrying into the wrong thing? How many know we better intercede and pray that the will of God be done in their marriages? How many know the marriage is wrought in heaven? It's not so much wrought on the earth. How many know it's got to start there? It's got to be sanctioned by God. Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good. Now, look in chapter 3 of Joshua. How many want to go across Jordan?
Amen.
How many think you're ready?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, I got a ways to go. Come on. Hallelujah. I'm heading that direction, but... It's going to take a strong hand of the Lord to get us there, isn't it? In Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, notice. Now, I want you to notice something. Joshua rose early in the morning. It's the dawning of a new day. How many believe we're moving into a new day? And there's a new diet for a new people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they were removed from Shittim. And that word Shittim means it's like the Achaia tree, but it also means a scourging or thorn. I mean, no thorn speaks of the curse. It means to pierce or to flog or to goad. This is wood. How many know wood speaks of humanity? We got to rise out of that place of humanity. Come on, out of the flesh realm. And begin to move in the spirit realm. Somebody say amen. And then in verse 1, you'll notice it said, it came to pass here that they came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and notice they lodged there before they passed over. Now, that, you know what that means? That means a helpless and a hopeless situation. It's flood stage. There's no way they can get across. And I can hear the car of mine saying, let's build boats and take off. But I'll say it didn't work. It's a hopeless, helpless situation. How many know if you're going to cross Jordan, it's going to take God's power to get you there? Come on, somebody say amen. You're not going to cross that Jordan in your flesh. The word Jordan means spreading of judgment. Speaks of death, going into death and yet coming into life. Amen? How many know the more that we die, the more we enter life? Oh, yes. There's a baptism, come on, in the Red Sea. There's a baptism in the cloud. And there's a baptism in Jordan, and that's the baptism of fire.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, notice in verse 2, it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. It took 3 days before they can pass over. How many know we're coming to the third day?
Amen.
Somebody's going to enter, come on, into that third day or into that next millennium age, that 1,000-year age. Can you say amen?
Amen.
After 2 days, what's that song going, Jose Bill?
After 2 days, he's
over. Revive us and what? On the third day, it says in the third day, he'll raise us up.
Yes.
Anybody want to be raised up?
Amen.
Amen. Now, look in verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark, so keep your eye upon the ark. His name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Do you know that was a little box? What was in that little box covered with gold? The rod, the manna, and the commandments. Isn't that right? Do you know that word ark also is a word for coffin? Over there when they put Joseph's bones in the coffin, same word. Hallelujah. Now, it says, when you see the ark of the covenant of your God and the priest of the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and what? Go after it. Follow the ark. Now, you got to see the ark first and then you follow the ark. How many know we're following too many things beside the ark?
Yeah.
We're looking at too many things. How many know many things are blocking our vision? We need a rekindle vision. Last time I was here, I preached on the vision of the Lord. I encourage you to get that tape. Now notice verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it. 2,000 cubits. How many know 2,000 years Jesus, the true ark, went before us? He passed on before us first. Amen. How many know he's the forerunner who has entered in and made a way that you and I could come on in to that holy of holies? Glory. Now look in verse 5. Well, he said, you've not passed this way heretofore. It's going to be the walk in the Spirit is totally different from the flesh, isn't it? Can I tell you, very few know the really walk, the real walk in the Spirit. We're all learning. But I want to know more of it, don't you? But how many know there's a price to pay? You have to spend time with God. Amen? Amen. You have to wait on God. And God will speak. How many know God speaks many places? You know, I remember this last year, last February, the Lord, a lady called me to come to a home meeting, and Bill and a few of us went, just probably say 8 or 9 of us. I didn't want to go in the flesh, in the natural. I was tired, and I didn't want to go. But I went ahead and went anyway. And while I was in that meeting, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, you're going to go to England. Well, that morning, there was a lady who was with us, and I didn't know it, but she had been praying that very morning that God would speak to me to go to England. And so we went twice last year. Well, what if I hadn't went to Bristol? What if I, Oklahoma? What if I hadn't obeyed God? How many know I might have not heard God? Come on. How many know obedience is what God's after in your life and my life?
Yes.
And we're going to go back to May the 31st to June 15th. So we ask for your prayers. We'll be in several. We're going to go to Scotland and England, and we're going to minister again there. So please pray for us as you think of us. Now notice, he said, follow the ark. Keep your eye upon the ark. You've not passed this way before. And there were 2,000 cubits, 2,000 cubits between the ark and the people. Now look at verse 5, what happened. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord's going to do something. I mean, no, we'll start getting whole and clean, and that means deliverance, you know. We cannot get holy, come on, sanctified, apart from deliverance. I know God's going to do it. The blood sanctifies. Come on, amen. The Word sanctifies. The Spirit sanctifies. The name sanctifies. The one death on the cross, Hebrews 10 says, sanctifies us. We're sanctified by faith, and we're sanctified by our works expressing that faith. But I tell you, God's got to do it. God's got to do it. How many want to be sanctified? God said, if you'll be sanctified, I will do wonders among you, among the people of God. You want to see the supernatural? Let God do a work in you and I.
Hallelujah.
Let's begin to let God sanctify us.
Hallelujah.
We'll see the supernatural.
Hallelujah.
Now, notice something else now. Down to verse 10. I said all that to say this. Hallelujah. Verse 10. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. Glory. And that he will, without fail, drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. You got to follow that ark. Amen? You got to come out of that place of humanity, out of that place of the curse. You got to see the ark, follow the ark. And you have to be sanctified. And God said, I'll send the ark before you. And he will drive out. Now, he's going to use you, and he's going to use you, and he's going to use me. But God said, I'll drive out your enemies. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Part of all the Amorites. Now, look in Revelation. Let me show you the 5 strongholds here in Revelation. Well, I don't mean there's all, but I just want to show you 5. A lot of strongholds. Chapter 2. Here's the first stronghold. Chapter 2, I preached this message in New York, part of this right here, that I'm going to give you now. The other was, the Lord just spoke another tonight to me. But in chapter 2, verse 9, here's the first stronghold. He said, I know thy works, church, and tribulation. God knows if you're walking through some hard places tonight. You may think God forgot you. I'm going to tell you something. He didn't forget you.
Right.
Are you hearing me? I know your works, your tribulation, and poverty. But thou art rich. You may not have much in the natural, he tells his church, but you have me. You are rich because you have me. How many know he is the durable riches? Now, how many of the church in Laodicea said, we are rich. But yet he said, no, you're poor. Come on. Increase with goods. Have need of nothing. But he said, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. And yet this church says, Lord, he says to this church, thou art rich, even though you're in poverty, tribulation, and so forth. I know the blasphemy. Now, what does it mean to blaspheme? It means many things. One of the meaning of blasphemy is this, to bring God down to man's level. How many know God wants to bring us up to his level? Come on. To know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews. How many know that the Jew is the one that's been circumcised inwardly? Come on, in the spirit, in the heart. And yet among this church there are those who say they're Jews. I believe there are many in the church who say they're Jews today that's not Jews. Because you see no change in their life. Come on. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation, isn't he? Come on, old things. Come on. Passed away. Behold, all things are become something. Now, we know that's a process. But he said they are not, but they're the synagogue. They're literally the church or the assembly of Satan. That's what God says. Now, look, that's the first stronghold. Now, look down to verse 13. Verse 13, the Lord says, I know thy works, church, here at Pergamos, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's throne is. His throne is not in Rome, although the enemy's there. Don't misunderstand me. It's not just in Russia, come on, or Washington. It's in the church. Did you hear that? It's in the church. And right here, Satan's seed throne was in the church. And holdest fast my name, thou hast not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr. Here's the third one now. Who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Satan himself right among the church. Look in Psalm 74. Hallelujah. Psalm 74. Look at verse 1. How many believe God gets upset with the sheep once in a while? As well as the shepherds. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep, not the goats, of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly someplace. How many are today we're the sanctuary? The enemy has done wickedly in the sanctuary. Verse 4. Thine enemies roar in the midst of the congregation, and many think it's the Holy Ghost. They set up their end signs for signs, and most of the time the only signs we have to the bathroom, the exit. These signs shall follow them. Come on, that belief. One of them's casting out devils, isn't it? Come on, healing the sick, speaking the new tongues, taking up, removing serpents and so forth, and healing the sick. Okay, now, verse 5. A man was famous according as he lifted up axes upon the thick trees. That's the Christians, that's right. Devil's got a chainsaw. He'll cut you down if you open up to him. Come on, you get in his territory. How many know he'll kill you? Come on. And now they break down the car work thereof at once with axes and hammers, and they have cast fire. Now this is a strange fire, false anointing, into thy sanctuary. Now the sanctuary today is the people of God. And how many know we got any strange fire and false fire in us? We better get it cast out of us. Please hear me. False prophecies. Come on, false praying, all that stuff. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. And they said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. The devil likes to destroy every church and every Christian. How many know there's a spirit right now against the people of God in America, if you've got any discernment at all? We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet. Well, we need the prophet, Jesus, don't we? Neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Look at verse 11. Here's the key now. Why withdrawest thou thy hand? God's got a hand ministry. Come on, apostles, prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. But I see more than that. Why withdrawest thou thy hand? Even thy what? Right hand. How many know that Benjamin means the son of the right hand? How many know there are 12 gates in Revelation? The first is Reuben, last is Benjamin. And you go through those 12 experiences in God. And the last one you experience is the gate of Benjamin, which is the son of the right hand, which is the overcomer. And God says here, the one is saying, why, Lord, withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand, pluck it out of thy bosom? How many know Jesus came out of the bosom of the Father? And we're coming out of Him. How many know that great light, lampstand of the tabernacle had a shaft right in the middle of it? And what came out of that shaft? There were branches, but they were filled with oil. Remember, the bowls were filled with oil. And those branches came out of that shaft. That shaft means loins. How many know we're out of His loins? Come on, somebody say amen. We're out of Him. And He is raising up a right-hand ministry. This is going to go on in the synagogue until God raises up the right-hand minister, which is the overcomers. And God will stop it. Are you hearing me? Jezebel likes to destroy churches. I won't go into that. Synagogues. Go back to Revelation. We've seen the synagogue of Satan. We see where Satan's seat is, where Satan dwelleth. Now look in chapter 2:24. Here is another stronghold of the enemy. Chapter 2, verse 24 is Jezebel. But unto you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as men as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. And how many know that there is a queen of heaven? Queen of heaven, heavenly realm. See, the enemy likes that heavenly realm. Remember what I said earlier? But God has put us in Christ in that heavenly kingdom or the heavenly realm. Can you say amen? Above. Come on. All principalities and all powers in Him. How many believe that? Now, look in before I say that, notice that phrase again in 2:13, where Satan's seat or throne is. Everybody see that? I want to tell you something right here. The third church, right here we're talking to, there's a famine. If Satan's seed is among the church, how many know there's a famine going on? The third message is, well, there's a famine. And the third seal, the black horse, there's a famine. Taking hunger. There's a hunger, excuse me, in the land. Third church, third message, and third seal speaks of a famine. Now, look in chapter 3, verse 9. Anybody in a hurry? Chapter 3, verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews. Now, he started with this. He's ending with this here in Revelation. And are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and know that I have loved thee. Now, the enemy's going to be brought down. How many believe that? Jesus, we know, defeated the devil. But how many know he's got to be bruised yet under our feet? Your feet and my feet. Let's look at that in Romans 16. Romans 16. Hallelujah. Let's look at some. How many need some hope tonight? Okay, good. Romans 16, 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan, or crush Satan, literally, under your feet. Shortly. And notice God said shortly. God's going to bruise Satan under your feet. You're the feet company. How many know the head usually comes out in a normal birth, and the feet follow? Well, how many know the head came out before us, walked before us? Come on. And he's waiting on the feet company now. Come on. He's waiting on this end time body to rise up. He overcome the enemy. He defeated him. Now he's waiting for you and I to put the enemy under our feet. Because of what he did. Can you say amen? And by his power. Now, look in Ezekiel chapter 29. Ezekiel 29. Hope you're getting all these scriptures down. You'll need them. Get the tape. Chapter 29, verse 3. And we know that, again, you see association between the enemy and water. Leviathan especially. How many know you see association with water with Leviathan? Now look here in 29, it speaks of Pharaoh. He's a picture of Satan. And how many know he's the king of Egypt or the world? He's the god of this world. Verse 3, speak and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, king of the lust of the eye and lust of the flesh and pride of life. The great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which hath said, my river is my own. See? And I have made it for myself. Verse 4, listen to what God says. But I will put hooks in thy jaws, and I will cause the fish of the rivers to stick to thy scales. I will bring thee up out of the midst of thy rivers, and all the fish of the river shall stick unto thy scales. And I will leave thee thrown in the wilderness, thee and all the fish of thy rivers, and thou shalt fall upon the open fields, and thou shalt be brought together, thou shalt not be brought together nor gathered. I have given thee for meat to the beasts of the field and to the fowls of the heaven. Hallelujah. Now look in Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, verse 2. I'm going to give you about five scriptures here. Literally, six. Verse 2. Son of man, say to the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, behold, thine heart is lifted up. There's pride. And thou hast said, I am a god. How many know there's one sitting in the church saying they're God? 2 Thessalonians 2. Pride. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, that's humanity. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. How many know there's a prince and there's a man here on the earth? How many know people here on the earth are puppets to those princes? Come on. Those kings and those dominions and those rulers. Now look at verse 6. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Verse 7. I'm going to bring strangers upon thee. The terrible of the nations. God's raising up a terrible people. Are you hearing me? And they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom. They shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down. Come on, where? Did anybody hear that? To the pit. And thou shalt die the depths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Now look over in verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Now, and then he says, thou hast defiled my sanctuaries in verse 18. We read that earlier. But look back up to verse 13. How many know the devil, and I believe it's speaking of the fallen being here, he has some stones in him. He has 9 stones. How many know the Lord has 12? Come on, don't stop that. Look in verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets, and thy pipes were prepared in thee and the day that thou was created. He literally led, I believe, worship in heaven. And that's why he uses music today the wrong way. Can you hear that? Amen. Now, so we've seen God's going to put hooks in his jaws. He's going to bring the terrible, the strangers of the nations against him. Now look at Ezekiel 32. Lord. Ezekiel 32, verse 2. Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh. That's the devil now. Remember, he's a picture of the devil here. King of the world, king of Egypt. And say to him, thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a whale in the seas. And thou camest forth with thy rivers, and troubles the waters with thy feet, and foul their rivers. Thus saith the Lord God, I will therefore spread out my net over thee with a company of many people, and they shall bring thee up in my net. You see that first word, net, in verse 3? Literally, it means a network. God is establishing a network. And I'm not just talking about the computer system. I'm talking about Christians. Come on. Across this world. Now, when's all this going to happen? God said, notice, God said, this people's going to bring him up in the net. Now, look at verse 7. Here's when it's going to happen. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars dark. I will cover the sun with the clouds. Matthew 24. And the moon shall not give her light. The bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. Now look in Isaiah 22. I could preach all night tonight with the help of the Lord. I tell you, we need to know our enemy tonight and what God's going to do. Chapter 24 of Isaiah 22. 24:22. And they shall be gathered. No, let's go back to 21. 24:21 of Isaiah. It shall come to pass in that day, the day of the Lord. And that's what we're approaching. That the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. I want you to notice that which is high and that which is low. And they shall be gathered together. Those high ones, they'll rule those kings. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the what? The pit. Shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. The demons cried out and told Jesus, have you come to torment us before the time? Let me tell you, there's a time coming they're going to all be put in the pit. Hallelujah. How many's going to shout when that happens? Come on. Glory. Hallelujah. They've caused all this misery. Come on. That we see. Isn't that right? Amen. Because of the fall of man. They've taken over. Well, how many is time for God's people to take over? In the Lord. I don't mean that in any boastful thing, but in the Lord. In Christ. Now, look at Isaiah 27. Isaiah 27. It said, in that day, the Lord with a sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing, or literally the twisting serpent. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that's in humanity. How's he going to do it? With the sword. With the word of God. Are you hearing me tonight? Now look in Psalms 149. Psalms 149, verse 1 through 9, real quick. I'm coming down to about 3 or 4 more scriptures, so hang on. Praise ye the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. Now you take this psalm with Revelation 14, they go together because it's talking about a lot of the same people. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises. Now I want to say something. Hallelujah. How many know there's some places in praise we have not yet touched? We haven't even scratched the surface yet. How many want to come to that? We all need it. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword. Where? Yeah. In their hand. Why? To execute vengeance upon the heathen, punishment upon the people, bind their kings with chains and their noble. Come on. Of iron. And to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. How many know there's a big chain of praise going to wrap the devil up? Look at Revelation 20. Glory. Revelation 20. Hallelujah. Revelation 20, verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit. And notice, a great chain was in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Glory. Hallelujah. And where's he at? He's in the pit. One angel. Right. A lot of people praising God. One angel. And cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and put a seal on him that he would deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years is fulfilled. Now, why is he going to be allowed to come out of that pit? Because how many know that the people that are born and live in this time must be tried somewhere down the road, just like you and I have been tried. Come on. Now, look in Luke. Look in Luke. Now, here is, I believe, one of the keys of Satan coming down. Look in Luke 10. And I think Luke 10 and Revelation 12 go together. I heard Jack touch on it one night here, and I really enjoyed his message. And it's a panorama of the end time, Luke 10. We're talking about the kingdom. We're talking about healing. We're talking about deliverance. And when the 70 come back, look down to verse, what, 17? The 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us through thy name. And that was before Jesus died. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, why did Satan fall? Who can tell me? Right here, Jesus inserted something. Having no pride, even though we may be in deliverance, come on, or healing, or whatever kind of ministry we have. How many know we've got to go down?
Amen.
Every one of us. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now, he said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are what? Written in heaven. Glory. How many names are written in heaven tonight? I know mine's there. Glory. And I don't want it to be blotted out. Do you? In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Thou hast revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Now, I mean, I know the devil has not yet completely, totally come all the way down to the earth. Now, the devil fell way back there with his fallen angels. The next time, he'll hit the earth. And then he'll go into the pit. And then he'll go into the lake of fire forever. Are you hearing me tonight? Now, the devil, I don't know how much he weighs. He's a spirit. But if you can put him on one side of the scale over here, we'll say he weighs 300 pounds. I don't know what a spirit weighs. You put him on one side of the scale, and on the other side, every time that the works of the devil is being destroyed in the earth, we put it on the other side. How many know after a while it looks like nothing's going to move him? Come on. But sooner or later, how many know there's that one individual or individuals that God's going to use that's going to do the final blow, the final work? And the scales, come on, is going to go down and Satan's going to come down. Amen. And he's going to fall. Deliverance is what I'm saying is going to bring him down.
Amen.
In your life and in my life. Are you hearing me? Now look in Revelation 12. And more than that, or with that, I should say. Revelation 12. How many know there is a people called the man-child here?
Yes.
This is not, the man-child is not Jesus. It's Jesus and a people. John is seeing future events. It's not Israel. The woman's not Israel because Israel doesn't dwell in the heavens. Verse 17 said also this woman, her seed has none of the commandments of God but to keep the testimony of Jesus. How many know most of Israel tonight in the natural does not keep the testimony of Jesus? It's not Mary. How many know when Jesus was born, he was a baby. He wasn't called to the throne. When this child is born, how many know that he's called to the throne? There's a groan at the throne. Are you hearing me? And there's a groan of creation. There's a groan of the people of God. And the Holy Ghost is groaning. That's Romans chapter 8. There's a groan tonight in some people. There's a travail. When's this going to happen? When you see the church in strong travail, you'll know the man-child's about ready to be born. But look what happened. Look in verse 11 first. And they overcame him. Notice the word they. Everybody see the word they? Look back to verse 6. When the man-child is called up to the throne, in verse 6 it says, that they should feed her, the church. How long? 1,203 score days. That's 3.5 years. They, in verse 11, it says, they overcame him, the devil. How? By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word, come on, of the testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And that word lives is souls. How many know we must give up our souls? Will, mind, emotions, and desires. Now, when the man-child is born, the man-child is caught up to the throne, the government, the authority of God, the rule of God, and the woman goes into her testing time, into the wilderness. But look in verse 7. Notice what happened. When the man-child goes up, it says there was war Where is this war at? Now, the woman, the Bible tells us that the woman was in the heavens, and the devil's in the heavens. That means it's impure. Where the devil's at, it's impure. Come on, somebody say amen. There was war in heaven. Michael means to be like God, and I can hear him. You know, the devil said, I'm going to be like God. Michael said, you'll never make it, buddy. And his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was there found any place anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan was to seize the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. But look at verse 10 after this happens. Oh, hallelujah. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now. Everybody say now.
Now.
Now that the devil has come to the earth, into that carnal realm, and there's a people dwelling in the heavens with God, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So, brethren, God's going to put hooks in his jaws. He's going to bring the strangers of the nations against him. He's got a network. Hallelujah. He's going to put him in his net. And God's got a big, long sword, the Word of God, that we're going to use to defeat the enemy. And God's got a chain of praise. Amen. High praises. Hallelujah. He's going to be put under our feet by the power of the deliverance ministry. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And there's going to be war in heaven. Somebody's going to take the throne, and somebody's coming down out of the heaven. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand.
Glory.
Glory. Praise God. Let's praise the Lord Jesus. Let's praise the Lord Jesus tonight. Glory. Hallelujah. We love you tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that our enemy, Lord God, our enemy has been defeated. Though we know that, but Lord, we got to carry it out as well in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for helping us, Lord. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Now, I want to come against a few things, and I may have a word for a few here tonight in just a minute. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Let's all pray. I want you to pray with me. Those that will, just pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come in the mighty name of Jesus. We call upon the blood of Jesus to cover us, to sanctify us, and to cleanse us from all sin. I come against the spirit of pride in my own life. Father, forgive me for all pride, arrogancy, haughtiness, boastfulness. I come against the spirit of Leviathan. And I command that spirit of pride now to loose me. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Take a deep breath now. Let her go. Come on, all pride. It gets in preachers too. All pride. Come out in the name of Jesus. All boastfulness, haughtiness, arrogancy. In the name of Jesus. Leviathan, you go. Come out of the backs. Come out of the backbone. Come out of there in Jesus' name. All haughtiness. Haughtiness. Come out in the name of Jesus. Boastfulness. Pride. In the name of Jesus. Arrogancy. In the name of Jesus. Now pray again. Heavenly Father, I come against the spirit of robbery. The spirit of the thief. Who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I take authority over the robber. You spirit of robbery, you loose me in any area, for I am weak. I close that door to the robber in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Come on. All thievery, come out. That's robbed God of his glory. Robbed God of tithes and offerings. Robbed God of his of worship. Robbed God of praise. Come out in Jesus' name. I rebuke the spirit of the thief in the name of Jesus. Come out of the people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I come against also, let's pray it this way. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of stinginess, poverty, being a tightwad. Forgive me, Father, for not giving out of my heart to the kingdom of God. I repent and I command now that spirit of poverty to loose me. The lack of want and
need.
I command it to go in Jesus' name. Help me to obey you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath now. Let her go. All poverty spirits, come out. All poverty spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Holding on to that which God says, let go. Whatever it may be, in the name of Jesus, come out. Come out. Come out. All poverty in Jesus' name. Stinginess. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Now, Heavenly Father, I come against all false headships, all false coverings that's not of the Lord. I come against it right now. All dominion, all control, all domination, intimidation, in the name of Jesus. I break the power of all false heads, false coverings, all idolatry, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Take a deep breath and let her go, brother. Come on, let her go. All false coverings in Jesus' name. Come out. False coverings of man, coverings of denominations, coverings of churches. Come out. The Lord's our covering. The Lord's our head. A couple more now. Heavenly Father, I come against the spirit of iniquity, the spirit of the Amorite, lawlessness, rebellion, independence. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me in your blood, Lord. I cast out lawlessness and iniquity not tonight. You spirit of the Amorite, come out. Loose me in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Let her go in the name of Jesus. The roots of Amorite, come out. Come out, lawlessness. Come out, rebellion of all of us. Independency, iniquity, loose us in the name of Jesus. Come out of us in Jesus' name. I come against mixed marriage spirits in the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive us if we've married into a mixture, Lord. Into the heathen. Forgive us, Lord. And wash us, Lord. And if you're married here tonight in that situation, just ask God to forgive you and pray for your mate that they'll be saved in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. One other thing. I come against the spirit of prominence and preeminence. Wanting to be the big show. The big cheese. The BTO. Wanting to be seen. I come against that spirit in the name of Jesus. We cut off that pride, Lord, again. Strongholds in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him tonight. Come on, let's take a deep breath. Say, come on in, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus. Come on in my life, Jesus. Hallelujah. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. In those areas where I've emptied out. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Sister Coffee, I have a word for you tonight. I had a word earlier when I was sitting over there and you were over here. The Lord's changing direction in your life and ministry. And I don't know if I ever give this word to you before, but I just know that you've got to go out more. You've got to move out in different directions more than you ever have. And the Lord will show you. The Lord will speak to both of you. And there'll be a confirmation, a unity, and a oneness among you. But I just know your ministry's going to change and you're going to have to travel and you're going to go other places. There are going to be open doors. And you're going to move out of the area where you've been to travel more and more. And God says that you have got a quality in you that I put in you that people need. They need that deliverance. And God says, rejoice and know that my hand's upon you, my eyes over you, and I will provide and make the way, and I will lead, and there will truly be the unity among you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord praise. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Our little sister right here in the white sweater. Yes, amen. Where are you from? New Jersey. Praise the Lord. Let's give her a good hand. All right, New Jersey. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord's telling me you've got a hearing ear to hear the Lord. And He's going to increase that hearing as you submit to the Lord and as you cry out for the Lord. It's going to increase. And as the Lord purges, and I'm giving you this out of Isaiah 6, when the prophet was purged, he heard the voice of the Lord. And so as the Lord purges you and takes those things out of you that you don't need, then you're going to begin to hear the voice of the Lord behind you saying, this is the way. Walk you in it when you turn to the left and when you turn to the right. And God's doing the work tonight. He's starting the work tonight. And He's going to finish it as you submit to Him. Amen? Amen. He's also giving you eyesight to see spiritual things. Visions and revelations will come to you in the Lord as you grow and mature in the Lord. Praise God. Let's praise Him tonight. Come on. Let's praise our Lord tonight. Oh, hallelujah. He's wonderful. Hallelujah. Bernadine, the Lord just wants to encourage you tonight. Just stand right up if you can, sister. Reach your hands up. She needs a healing in her body. And we want to minister first the word of the Lord, then we'll pray for it. But the Lord wants to encourage you tonight and let you know that He loves you, that He has not forsaken you, that your prayers like incense have come up before the throne. And God says that I've heard your cry, and I've seen the tear, and I've seen the heartaches. But the Lord said, I'm able to heal, I'm able to deliver, and I'm able to wipe away those tears. And I put your tears in a bottle. The Lord says, that's over in Psalms. You know that scripture? But God said, I'm pleased with you at this time because your heart is aching and you're hurting. But God said, I'm going to heal and I'm going to deliver you. And the Lord says, take courage and know that I know your downsettings and your uprisings and that I'm with you going out and coming in. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for her legs. I pray for her kneecap, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We just ask the Holy Spirit to touch her. We ask you to minister your life to her body, Lord. I curse these infirmities, Lord, and I ask you to strengthen my sister in the name of Jesus. Let healing go into her body tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Somebody said amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. How many know that the word of the Lord is tried in your life when you receive it many times? One time I received a word that I was going to Alabama and Georgia for, there was the long prophecy. First part of it came to pass just very quickly. But the last part concerning Alabama and Georgia took almost 15 years. And sometimes when you get a word, you think it's going to happen tomorrow morning, you know. It may be a few years before you see the results. But I tell you, God's faithful. If it's been spoken by the Spirit, how many know God will do it?
Amen.
If you trust and believe Him, it will happen in your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He's wonderful tonight. Amen. Let's praise Him again. Come on, let's love Him. Let's love Him. Love Jesus. Give Him praise. Give Him honor. Give Him thanks. Oh, hallelujah. We love You tonight, Lord. We worship You tonight. We love You, Jesus. We worship You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. We got to taste and see that He's good. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. I want to pray for my brother in the blue over here on the end. Brother, would you come up in the blue? Yes, sir. Would you come up and let me pray for you? Yes, sir. Come right up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Where are you from? Praise the Lord. Bless you. Praise the Lord. God bless. He's from El Salvador. Let's reach your hands out to him and pray for him. Is this your first time here? Good, good. Are you a minister?
We are, God.
You're beginning to move into that room. Okay, that's what I thought. Let's reach your hands out to him. Hallelujah. Father, we lift him up right now in his family. We bless this man, Lord. We thank you for the gospel, Lord God, that you're putting in him. We pray, Lord, for the Holy Ghost power to consume my brother, Lord, that you would use him in anointing by the power of the Holy Ghost in the hour and the days ahead, Lord. Lord God, I pray, put the belt of truth upon him. Put the helmet upon him. Put the breastplate upon his breast, Lord, and shod him with the preparation of the gospel of peace, Lord. Put the sword in his hand. Put praises in his mouth. And Lord, put a prayer life in him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Strengthen him, Lord. Quicken my brother tonight, Lord, by the name of Jesus, by the authority of the Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage him, that you would meet every need, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, cover his front and cover his back as well. And as he goes in and as he comes in, Lord, watch over him, we pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Cover him with the blood of Jesus. Lord, touch his tongue. Touch his tongue to preach the gospel, Lord, to preach, to teach, to prophesy the word of the Lord to your people, Lord. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, put that prophetic prophet mantle upon him, Lord, that he might speak, Lord, that he might see, Lord, that he might hear, Lord, that he might discern, Lord. Hallelujah, the word of the Lord in the name of Jesus for your people. And we bless him, Lord. We bless him. Lord, we ask you to send him across the country, across the world in your time, that he might go forth as a blazing fire. Hallelujah, flaming fire. Lord, a deliverance preacher, Lord, in the name of Jesus we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord says, take courage, my brother. Know that I'm with thee and that I shall break down every stronghold that's been set against you. For God has seen the enemy lurking. He has seen the traps and the snares he has set, but I will set ambushments against him. I will cause you to deter those traps. I shall cause you to go around those false things, and I shall keep you, my son, and I shall preserve you as you go out and as you come in, for my hand is upon you, and I shall speak to you in the night, and I shall show you in a dream and in a vision, and thou shalt know the direction of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Bless him, Lord. Bless our brother. Brother, come here just a minute. Brother, praise the Lord. Come here and say a word.
Say a few words. Praise the Lord. Obey the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, for me it's a pleasure to be with you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I was very young when the Lord touched me. I was 18 years old. But when I came to the United States, I became in 1986 close and close to Jesus. Then I went to Mexico, and the Lord started to work with me, and I received prophesied in Mexico, and then the prophets I've been working and working on, and for me it's the biggest thing that can happen to me in this country and my life, to be with you and receive the prophecy, and I've been waiting for the order of the Lord to tell me, just walk on my way. Just pray for us. My wife Patricia, my family, we are six in the family. I have two daughters and two boys, and my wife, and my brother and my sister, Rivera, Lisa and Willie Rivera, who are very loved brothers and sister for us. God bless you in the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many know God's raising him up everywhere? The ministries, the fivefold ministry. Thank God for it. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.